Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Friday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Chaos Theory Kegger. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Phoenix to Philly, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Hey, you're on the air.
They listening, DA. Everything we saying, DA. Everything.
And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. How we doing, everybody? Happy Friday to you. Excited to be back inside the New York City studios, our home office, if you will, after a couple of days in the mighty Midwest on location. But today, back at NYC, which means the web stream is back to watch the show. So go to watchda.com and watch our live stream. We've got a really good show coming up for you today. This morning, Jason Lockenfor is going to join us at about 35 minutes from now. We'll talk NFL with him as we creep closer to training camps being opened. Also, perfect day to have on Ralph Russo, college football writer, one of our favorites from the Associated Press. He's going to be in studio with us in the third hour of the show. We shall discuss, obviously, the Hugh Freeze situation. And just to get ahead of things right now, guys, you might want to put the laugh montage in cue, because the Hugh Freeze story has all the makings. Derrick Rose to Cleveland and the O.J. Simpson decision. All of that coming your way this morning here on the show, so hit us up at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. You could always connect with us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Well, let's start with the SEC. The SEC is just the perfect primetime soap. It's just perfect. If you are a child of the 80s, or even if you were alive at that era, you remember the days of Dallas, of Falcon Crest, of Knott's Landing. In the 90s, that kind of evolved a little bit to maybe the 90210 Melrose Place drama setting. But really, this is about a Gilmore Girls situation, more so in terms of wealth, backstabbing, celebrity, and in-house sabotage. It has everything. The SEC might no longer be the best conference in America. You could make the argument the ACC is right now. However, you cannot make the argument that any conference will ever be as interesting as what happens in the Southeastern Conference, because just another day of university expose, which bubbles to the surface, corruption, and let's just throw in for good measure a healthy dose of hookers.
Get on top of the guy and they'll do a lap dance.
I mean, it's amazing. Only in the SEC could this timeline happen. Coach walks into mediocre program, immediately starts recruiting at highest level, begins winning recruiting battles said school has never won. Rest of SEC gets very, very questionable about this, very skeptical about this, and begins saying, this is not of the up and up. To which case, hot new coach says, oh yeah, prove it. If you have any proof of allegations, or I should say, any proof of violations, bring them forward now. Which puts target on said hot coach's back. Hot coach then wins, and wins big. Beats Alabama. Beats Alabama a couple of times. Nearly beats Alabama again. Is competing for bowl games, big-time performances, big-time games that said program has not played in a really long time. But then all those violation allegations start coming to the forefront, and said hot coach, along with said school, begins pinning it on previous coach. Previous coach goes, you're slandering my name. I demand an apology. School and hot coach says, we're not giving you an apology. So old coach says, okay, I'm going to slap a lawsuit on you and we'll investigate all of your phone records because you are slandering me. Said school and hot coach denies. But through this legal process, they realize, oh, at least once hot coach called hot chick on a hot phone. And then the school started digging deeper and realized, oh, wait, he did this a lot. He called escorts from a school phone a number of times. Hot coach forced to resign. Program right back into crazy instability and question marks. Where else could this happen but the SEC? And oh, by the way, Hugh Freeze, what are you doing? Don't you at least know how to call a hooker and not do it on a school phone? It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
Since we first learned last week of potential inappropriate conduct by Coach Freeze, Ross has led the effort to uncover the facts, which he completed yesterday, with the ultimate goal of protecting our institution and our student athletes.
So we proactively looked into the rest of his phone records. In our analysis, we discovered a pattern of conduct that is not consistent with our expectations as the leader of our football program. As of yesterday, there appeared to be a concerning pattern.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That is Jeff Vitter, Chancellor at Ole Miss, and Ross Bjork, the athletic director. It's also amazing that we've got somebody named Bjork in the middle of this scandal. Hugh Freeze, the obvious question is, how could you think you're going to get away with calling escorts from the school phone? How could you possibly think you're getting away with it? And oh, by the way, one of those calls was only 1 minute. As reported by USA Today, looking through the phone records. So he said it's a misdial. What that actually means, since there's a pattern of this, and that's why they fired him, is that he basically had a code word. In 1 minute, he was able to set up exactly who he wanted, where he wanted her, which is even scarier. There was no negotiation there. There was no questions. There was like, I called the number, and it's a code with a girl's name and where to meet. Hugh Freeze, what a dirtbag. I mean, doing this on a school phone. And oh, by the way, Hugh Freeze was always the most arrogant, self-indulgent, fight you before you fight me type of guy. And it all comes crumbling down. I mean, this was the guy that stuck his chin out and said, you want to prove me cheating? Prove it then. Prove it. Bring forth the evidence. Don't just allege. Bring forth the evidence. And then people did. I mean, he put the target on that school's back. And so the entire conference was looking to take down Ole Miss. And yes, they were cheating while doing it. And there's all the evidence that that's how they got all these guys. And Ole Miss is an amazing fan base. I got to go down to the Grove last year for the Bama and Ole Miss game. It's an incredible, incredible fan base and state and experience. And they just want a winner. And here you go, totally humiliating the entire program by walking in and overnight. I mean, be conspicuous about it. You walk in and overnight start nailing all types of top-end prospects like Kim Dichie and all the rest of the guys that waltz in there that they were never able to get before overnight. And the SEC is going, well, how is this happening? And everybody's going, how is this happening? And you say, prove it, prove it, prove it. And then finally somebody proves it. And you go, no way, no way, no way. You're lying, you're lying, you're lying. Then the NCAA gets involved. They're lying, they're lying. Then Houston Nutt gets involved. They're lying, they're lying. And then finally you get taken down out of stupidity of calling escorts on the school phone. I mean, is this not just the perfect way for somebody of that type of arrogance to go down? It's incredible. How stupid can you be? And also, what a complete fraud. Is there anything more annoying than a guy that's a fake Christian, a fake religious man, a guy that puts all his God and scripture and Jesus stuff out there but never abides by any of it? Hugh Freeze's Twitter was like a sermon every single day. Dear God, I worship you today for the forgiveness of my sins, a love like no other, grace and acceptance, a blessing of life. When God promises to give us everything we need, he meant it. Yes, apparently you needed the escorts. Thankful through Christ, every day is Independence Day. My Savior God has ransomed me. Yeah, I would say it, Ole Miss. My God, how little do my countrymen know what precious blessings they are in possession of. On and on and on and on and on. And then here he is, cheating, lying, and calling hookers on the school phone. Nice. Good job, Hugh. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. It's just amazing, man. Some people are just amazing. And the shocking thing is that Hugh Freeze is going to take a major, major fall for this. Already is obviously forced to resign, but I mean in the eyes of other schools, other programs, but he'll probably get another job because the guy recruited crazy well by cheating and then won games with that talent and put Ole Miss on a map where they had not been in a really long time, maybe since Archie Manning. But, I mean, in the wake of Art Briles, another total fraud, I mean, just put Hugh Freeze and Art Briles in a room together and let those guys just hash it out. They probably both still think that they got done wrong. What a bunch of phonies. When we come back, OJ is free. Kind of. We'll get to the details of his parole coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio. Very professional, mind you.
That's very good, Damon.
It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later on in the show when we'll answer that question. Summer's heat can cause your battery fluids to evaporate. Get your battery tested for free. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people will help you find the battery you need. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. O.J. Simpson granted parole after 8 years in prison for his Las Vegas memorabilia heist. He's 70 years old and could be out of prison as early as October the 1st. He served the minimum 9 years of a 33-year sentence. There was a couple of moments yesterday that just made you shake your head. I mean, suggesting that he lived a conflict-free life was laughable, as we all know. But it kind of shows you a little bit of the insight into OJ's persona. He was also jokey. He also seemed pretty confident. He seemed pretty lighthearted in his commentary yesterday. And this was the insight that I think drives people batty, but tells you a huge story. It will always appear that OJ has no remorse. that OJ is always charming his way through life. And that's what is so frustrating for so many people about the murders, is that it always felt as though OJ never really appreciated getting out of that situation the way that he did, because upon being a free man after the trial, not guilty, said, "I won't rest until I find the killers." Well, like a day later, he was playing golf. His existence didn't turn into some type of investigation, energy towards somehow finding the murderers or keeping his wife's name alive and doing kind community work or gestures like that. Instead, it became all about OJ being this kind of twisted, weird symbol in America and him going down a twisted, weird, dark life. I mean, involved with really sketchy people, really shady people, doing really cheap celebrity stunts and ploys, trying to make cheap money off of his name and likeness, writing the book, What If I Did It? I mean, he showed no remorse, no compassion, no empathy for the type of crime that had been committed, even if he didn't do it. And you could tell upstairs that OJ was, even if he was innocent, kind of a conniving dirtbag. With the guys he hung out with and the ways he tried to make money and his existence after the trial. But what you also saw was OJ has this ability to just live in an OJ world and charm you to death, which is why I think he is exactly who he is. And what happened the way that it did is that OJ has the ability to turn on the charm when the lights are on. And he did that throughout his playing days. He did that even in his post-career. And he made people believe that he was somebody that he wasn't. But when the camera's off and the lights are off, he's the dirtbag that goes and tries to kidnap and rob a guy for his memorabilia in a hotel with a bunch of shady dudes. OJ is a bizarre, complex, weird human being. And yesterday proved that. And this is very dissatisfying that he is going to be free for so many people, because so many people looked at this sentence for the robbery and said, well, that's karma for getting off on the murders because we know you did it. So to spend 9 years in jail for murdering two people seems completely, wholly unfair. But I will say this, what is the rest of his life going to be like? I kind of feel like OJ will pick up where he left off. He'll be doing crude, lowbrow, kind of bizarre media tour type appearances. He will not ever be embraceable. He will never show remorse or compassion. He is going to be in a weird OJ world where he probably writes another weird OJ book and he promotes it on a weird OJ web service and he has weird OJ branding with weird OJ apparel and weird OJ autographs and all of this type of stuff. I bet you that's where this thing goes. He's 70 years old, but, you know, I don't think he is going to fade. I don't think he's just going to fade into the woodwork. I think he's going to be one of these kind of really gross ex-celebrities that just are clinging on for relevancy for dear life and doing it in really kind of disgusting ways. I mean, you could just imagine OJ doing these live video conferences or whatever, and some of the stuff that he rambles about being incoherent and bizarre and crude, and him just living in that world. Whatever happens from here, he's going to say, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm so happy, I'm so happy, I'm so happy. But you know OJ isn't going to live any type of respectable life after this. He might be too old to do crimes anymore. He might be fading in terms of his energy to do really bad things, I would hope. But his life is always going to feel like that kind of back cable channel that you stumble upon in the middle of the night. You're like, oh, God, that guy's still alive? Oh, what is he doing? Oh, boy, he looks terrible. That feels like where OJ is going. And boy, yesterday when he turned on the charm and acted like nothing had ever happened, that is where the cunning, and that is where the living in your own world, the delusion, and the charm, that is that dangerous cocktail that OJ has always had to make you believe he's somebody that he wasn't. And that's why that 30 for 30 Made in America was fascinating, because they really were able to pull back the curtain on all of the years, the decades, that OJ said one thing in front of the camera but did something totally different when the light was off. And that's what yesterday was. He's a great inmate. He does all these things for the prisoners. He's never gotten into trouble. Okay, fine. But there's also this whole element of delusion that was in there, obviously, with OJ, as though the previous 70 years of his life didn't even really exist or happen. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Dan tweets in, DA, the only thing I can really say about head coach Hugh Freeze is that he won games and got us two W's against Bama and two Sugar Bowls. Hashtag hypocrite. I would imagine that Daniel realizes, yes, that there's a lot of people that that's all that they really care about is the wins within that program. But boy, does Hugh Freeze look terrible today. I mean, man, that guy, those decisions, and then just puffing out your chest and attacking others throughout the whole thing. Remarkable. Bernie tweets, Rick Pitino's probably watching this Hugh Freeze Ole Miss circus unfold like, hey, man, what's the problem? Hashtag not surprised. Pitino's got to be like, Hugh, I could have let you borrow my phone to call the hookers. I got him on speed dial, man.
She's a bad girl, Dave.
When we come back here on the show, Jason LaConfora, CBS Sports, on the NFL's offseason, as we are just days away from training camp opening up. TA, CBS Sports Radio, 37 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. A little reminder, you can always watch the show by going to watchda.com. The live digital broadcast is going on as we speak right now, so check it out. That's, again, watchda.com, and that is mobile-friendly. We are just days away from NFL training camps opening up, and joining us here on the show is CBS Sports NFL Insider, our good friend Jason LaConfora. JLC, good morning.
What's going on, DA?
Not much, buddy. Thanks so much for joining us. Hey, what'd you think about the situation with Michael Vick commenting on Colin Kaepernick with the hair and what he should do? Did you think that was a big deal, little deal, or no deal?
Personally, no deal. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. He's asked a question. He answered it. I'm not sure if he was trying to be sort of like flippant or, you know, sort of if it was a one-liner, if he really believed it. I didn't hear the interview. I've just read the transcript, so I don't know about the tone. But, I mean, Michael Vick's not going to be influencing these owners about signing Colin Kaepernick. And as I wrote way back early in the spring, whenever he does get signed, it's going to be because some owner got pushed into it because he thought it was the only way to try to salvage his season. It won't be about now they've seen the light, or now they're more progressive, or now they're more open, or whatever. It'll just be about he's the last man standing and somebody's willing to give him a few million bucks to try to save their season because they're in dire straits at the quarterback situation. But the fact that no one's put a reasonable offer in front of this guy, despite what he's accomplished, and, if, you know, again, you want to argue how good you think he is and all that. I mean, since he came into the league, the numbers would say he's no worse than, you know, the 15th, 16th best quarterback in the league. But if you want to say he stinks and all that, that's fine. If you want to say he's not one of the 32 best quarterbacks in the world, you could argue that. I would argue strongly against it, but you could. But the fact that he's not one of the 96 And some of these teams have four, so do the math. 32 times four, the teams that are carrying four. He's not one of the best 120 quarterbacks on the planet. Okay.
So you kind of assume that at some point there will be desperation enough where Colin Kaepernick does have a job at some point this season.
Well, that's what it'll take. I mean, if this is a season where it's an anomaly and there isn't significant attrition at the quarterback position and we don't see quarterbacks going down in training camp and going down in preseason games, then you know, he might be screwed. Because short of that provocation, it's clear, to me at least, that he has been treated as if he's not really a free agent. I mean, one team brought him in. I mean, that's it. All the quarterback turnover, all the quarterback transactions in this league, when you account for guys signed in January to futures deals and all the quarterbacks who were drafted and all the quarterbacks who've been signed, he's had one team bring him in. That screams to me as they're pretending he's not really available. Now we've reached a point, though, okay, now even Orlovsky got signed. So, like, you know what I mean? It's down to, like, him and Charlie Whitehurst. Like, they're really, I mean, there's nothing out there. You're not getting Romo out of the booth to save your season. You're not getting Cutler out of the booth to save your season. So if a team that has significant aspirations suffers an injury to a starting quarterback and they know that their backup stinks, because 95% of the backups stink, then he'll have an opportunity. But short of that, you're right. I don't think he will.
Jason LaConfora joins us from CBS Sports. Do you think that Ezekiel Elliott is risking blowing up his career by bad decisions?
Blowing up his career, it takes generally a few incidents for things to happen. I mean, you know, Le'Veon Bell's been in the league, what, 4 or 5 years now. He's had a couple of miscues, and he still just had a team willing to put $60 million in front of him, which I'm astonished the Steelers went that high, but they did in fact go that high. I mean, in terms of true guarantee, it's more like 20 to 25, but still, they're willing. As long as he stays out of trouble, he'd be making $12 million a year for the next 5 years at a time when the next highest paid running back in the league makes eight. So I'm not going to say he's putting his career in jeopardy yet, but once you get into the league's sort of disciplinary arm, whether that be through substances of abuse or through PEDs or through violating the personal conduct policy, you know, then things tend to expedite quickly. And once you've been disciplined once, if you continue to engage in those activities, we've seen they ramp it up pretty quickly. The fact that he's in Dallas, the fact that he's got Jerry Jones willing to basically enable or support things to a degree that maybe some others wouldn't, it seems to be almost like, in Jerry's mind, it's kind of like the go-go 90s there again, where, like, hey, let the boys will be boys and stuff will happen on Sunday night through Saturday night, but as long as we get 3 hours of quality football out of them and we're contending for Super Bowls, you know, we could all look the other way, because let's just enjoy the party. And that atmosphere is probably not conducive to Ezekiel Elliott. And if that truly is the culture, it appears that that's it from the way things are happening and from what Jerry's been saying, then, yeah, it can become a slippery slope. Certainly he's going to have to curtail and sort of rein in what he does for fun and, you know, what going out means to him and what a social life means to him, because the places and the people and the frequency with which he's meddling with these people is going to lead to more trouble, I believe, if it's not at least tamped down.
So it's not crazy then to suggest that the Cowboys might have a culture issue there and they let a little bit too much go?
Well, I mean, nothing happens in a vacuum. So, I mean, we can look at them, all the guys who have been suspended. You know, look at them being the team that takes the chance on Randy Gregory. It wasn't that long ago that they brought in Greg Hardy at a time when most, I mean, we're not talking 5, 6 years ago. I mean, this is a couple of seasons back, right? And Hardy's toxic to most teams, but they're letting him scream at their coaches during games and throw hissy fits and tirades, even though he's not productive. You know, and they're the ones who decided to work out this funky contract to compensate him if he actually could get him some sacks. And, you know, this is not, you know, a new phenomenon that, you know, Jerry is a little different owner and a little different guy. I mean, yeah, there's certainly, I believe, one of the teams that are more willing to look the other way or take a chance or, you know, just kind of be just win, baby, than some others. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not endemic to them, but they've become a younger team. They've got obviously some key players who – and Dak had an amazing rookie season, but the reason they were able to get him where they got him is because he had some issues in college that dropped him down some boards, and quarterbacks are held to a different standard. And the running back is already dabbling. You know, we'll see what happens there. I mean, he's already toggling the line of, is he going to be in the, you know, in the system by year two, or isn't he in terms of the league's discipline? We know that, you know, Dez has had his issues. So, no, it's not just the Cowboys, but I think Jerry, when he falls in love with these guys and he feels like this is the crew that's my new triplets, or these are the guys who are going to get me over the top, I think he can't help himself. And he just kind of, it's anything goes.
Jason LaConfora joining us here on the show on CBS Sports Radio. What do you make of the Panthers' decision to have brought in Gettleman to clear Herney's mess and then bring in Herney to clear up Gettleman's mess? Does this make sense to you?
On a certain level, it does, because it's Marty Herney's team. I mean, Gettleman had, like, a nice draft. Like, his first draft was really good, you know, and he had some good value free agent signings. But that's Marty. I mean, go look at the coaching staff. Go look at the scouts, the multitude of people in football operations, and go look at the roster. It's really still kind of Marty Herney's team in many, many ways. I mean, Marty Herney drafted Cam Newton. He drafted Keekly. He owned the first round. You people want to knock him for mid-round stuff and missing on players. That's okay. But, you know, where you really get screwed, where you can't rebuild your team, is if you're picking high and you're still missing on players. He got absolute studs. And the Cam Newton pick was not easy. I mean, that was controversial. People try to pretend like that wasn't as charged as it was. And he did go out on a limb somewhat there. I mean, he made the Olsen trade. Just go look at the composition of the team. So I think Gettleman inherited a pretty good situation, except, yeah, they had some contracts that they had paid their own a little bit too much. You know, that can happen. They were in a bind. I mean, the owner makes this call 8 days before camp. You don't have a lot of options. You're either going to promote from within, or if there's someone who really lives in town, who still knows the team, who still has a relationship with people there, who hired most of the people there, and he happens to be out of work, and he's willing to do it, then, yeah, that bails a lot of people out, and that makes their lives a little bit easier, because it's very difficult to conduct a large-scale GM search at the same time your rookies are reporting to training camp.
I'll be honest, I can't figure out what the real Jimmy Garoppolo is, because we saw him play pretty well, but then it's such a small sample size. And now you have a former Patriots player saying he played against him in practice every day and that Garoppolo would make the Browns a borderline playoff team. I mean, could Garoppolo be good enough to add 8 wins to the Cleveland Browns? Doesn't that seem like hyperbole? Where do you stand on what Garoppolo's reality is?
Nobody knows. I mean, that's just an impossible question to answer. Clearly, Bill Belichick values him extremely highly, because he didn't move him. Now, did the Browns move heaven and earth to the degree I thought they should to get him, which is basically we got 15 picks over the next 3 years in the top 3 rounds? Hey, Bill, pick the 6 you like the most, and they're yours. No, they didn't go to that. They didn't go to those lengths. I frankly think they should have. I was pushing for it the whole offseason. It didn't materialize. But for a franchise, and you know, you were close to those guys, for a franchise that's basically willing to sell high on anyone, you know, including the likes of a Richard Seymour, you know, guys who were real pillars, the fact they wouldn't trade their backup quarterback, yeah, it wasn't the haul I thought they should have been offered in return, but still, the ability to get multiple high picks for him wasn't enough. That tells you what Belichick thinks of him. Now, not all his evaluations are correct either, and part of this may be them building the mythology of Garoppolo, because they may have to trade him off a franchise tag next year when everybody knows they can't pay 2 quarterbacks. But I believe in the kid. I think he's been groomed expertly. I like what I've seen of him. I like what I hear about him. I like what I know of his makeup. And in this league, there's a certain value for, yeah, he's something of a known commodity. Would you rather have him coming into your team right now, knowing he's mastered McDaniel's scheme, He's been coached by Belichick. He's been around Brady for 3 years now. He's, what, 25 and not 22? Or would you rather have Jared Goff saying, is this going to be sort of the same kid who was so overwhelmed that he couldn't complete a fade route against air on Hard Knocks last year? You know what I mean? or has he finally, like, grown up and put it together? That's not a knock on him, but they're babies. You know what I mean? And Garoppolo's not a baby. Yeah, it's only preseason. Yeah, it's only four regular season games. But he's been around professional athletes in that locker room, in that quarterback meeting, where Tom Brady's holding everybody to the highest caliber for what, 3 years now? There's a value just in that.
Finally, the Orioles, your Orioles, 3.5 games out of the wild card. Should they be buyers or sellers this week?
Those are fun series against the Rangers. I got out there with my kids because I'm about to take off for camp, so I won't be around much, and that was fun. It's a great four-game sweep. But no, they have to, for the long-term future of the franchise, they have to sell, and I think they should sell Machado, too. There's no starting pitching here now.
Sell Machado!
There's no starting pitching in AAA. There's barely any starting pitching in AA. I want to parade, you know what I mean? I don't want to be the second wild card. Like, it's about winning the title. And yeah, I mean, I'd be marketing Machado, Britton, Brock, Castillo, Kim, Seth Smith, anybody. I'd listen to anything at this point. I really would. The starting pitching is still historically bad. Although, again, they had a nice series against the Rangers.
Sell, says Jason LaConfora. You can follow JLC on Twitter at Jason LaConfora. As he just said, camps are opening up here soon, so we'll be all over that. Also, co-host the Be More Opinionated podcast for all you Baltimore fans out there. As always, JLC, we appreciate the time this morning, and we will be watching and reading and following your coverage from camp.
My pleasure, DA. Thanks for having me.
Okay, man. Jason LaConfora joining us here on the DA Show. Wow, sell Manny Machado. Whew. What type of haul would Machado get? One of the best players in the league, still extremely young, totally marketable. Gosh, what type of haul would Machado bring back? Can you possibly sell to your fans? Yeah, we just sold off the most popular person on this team right now. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number, Twitter, DA on CBS. You know, this Michael Vick commentary on Colin Kaepernick's hair, I already talked about earlier in the week, but just to reset, it was an inane comment for this reason and this reason only. There are no owners in the NFL right now going, well, I'd sign Kaepernick except he's got that crazy afro. That is not part of the conversation. They are saying, I'm not going to sign him because of what he did last year. But they're not sitting around going, well, I would give Kaepernick a shot, except he's got to cut his hair. And if Michael Vick was making the point of being more palatable to your employer, okay, there's a point to be made there. However, we're well past that with Kaepernick, and that's obvious. He is totally, in NFL GM's minds and owners' minds, toxic because of his stance with the anthem, not because of how he looks. There are plenty of players of the NFL that have dreadlocks, that have afros, that have tattoos. That's not the issue. And don't tell me that 32 owners or GMs are suddenly going to look at his anthem protest differently because he cut his hair. That's ludicrous. What that is really small-minded thinking. What that is not on this planet. Michael Vick doesn't have to apologize. I don't think it was racist. I don't think it was offensive. It was just illogical. So Vick being forced to apologize or apologizing himself, whatever, I didn't think he needed to apologize. Again, it's just illogical. As LaConfora just said, whether you agree with this stance or not from owners, owners and GMs have made the point this offseason that they don't want to touch him because of the anthem. You can't make the argument that from a football standpoint, he doesn't belong on a roster. You can't. There's worse quarterbacks on rosters. And you can't make the argument that he only wants to be a starter because he has told people he is not adamant on being a starter. That is not a deal breaker for him. But what happened with the anthem last year has turned the entire league away from him, and it has nothing to do with his hair. There is not one GM or owner going, well, you know what? If you cut your hair, then maybe I would look at you differently. It's about actions. When we come back, can D. Rose help the Cavs? D.A., CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.